we can come in with level-headedness, emotional calm, and that can project things are not spiraling out of control. There is wisdom, God's in charge, and we can communicate despair or we can communicate hope. And it sets the tone for all the following conversations and the decisions that need to flow out of that.
You're listening to the AMS Excellence Podcast. This podcast is dedicated to the discussion of strategic best practices related to associational missions. Here's your host, Rick Curtis.
Hey team, today we're looking at a subject that every one of us should see as critical. That is emotional intelligence. Our guest on the podcast is Dr. Brian Nall. He is the Executive Director of Pensacola Bay Baptist Association. Hey Brian, thanks for coming and sitting down with me today, even though it's over video.
No, happy to be able to join you here today.
We're so glad to have you. This is such an important subject. But before we get to the questions, tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, and your current ministry.
Sure. I am the director of the Pensacola Bay Baptist Association. Blessed to be a native of Pensacola. So my whole family, born and raised here, multi-generational person. So I know the Gulf Coast pretty well. Blessed to be able to be in this neck of the woods. Mm. Me and my wife, Candace. So we've been married almost 20 years. And so we... Since youth group days, we've kind of been those high school sweethearts together. We got two kids. My daughter's 15, Bailey, and my son Elijah is 13. Now, they're just great, just both two great kids, and blessed to serve the churches all across Escambia County, from the beach tourist areas that most people are familiar with, all the way to up in the rural area. That's just, we have cotton fields and peanut farms.
Wow.
All over the place. So it's fun, from the military community of all our Navy bases and military bases around the area to the farmland. So it's a great mission field for me to be able to serve in.
That's wonderful. Hey, this area is one that I'm very passionate about. Much of my doctoral dissertation dealt with EQ and its importance in leadership. And so I'm really excited and kind of chomping at the bit for these questions.
Good. Let's dive in.
All right. Let me hit you with the first one. As you know, most of our listeners are familiar with IQ, that is regular intelligence, but we're talking today about emotional intelligence, that is EQ. What is EQ?
Well, a kind of quick summary, I would probably say the wisdom of selecting the right emotion in kind and also in degree and applying it to the right moment.
That's good.
It is that art and science coming together that creates one's emotional intelligence.
That's great. That's a very concise definition. I like that. It might take guys a minute just to think about that.
A way I've tried to kind of put my mind around it, I'm a Jeep. I got a 2002 Jeep Wrangler. It's a standard. And so right now I am teaching my daughter how to drive a standard. But one of the things we found is it's emotional intelligence is often like shifting gears. It is that balance between the right gear and also between how much fuel is needed in the gear based off the terrain. And it is that balance between what's the emotional gear and how do you balance it for whatever is the presenting issue. And it's often me in the Jeep, it's looking at that tachometer. What's the speed of the engine? And I'm often doing that emotionally in the presenting situations I come into as an AMS. And that kind of guides the same principles for emotional intelligence.
Yeah, that's really good. That's helpful. Let me ask you this. When we think of intelligence, we think of it as something that we can grow and build in our own lives. That's with regular intelligence. But when we're talking about emotional intelligence, is that something that a person can grow in? And if so, how?
I think we can grow in it. I think there is maybe a default level that we might have naturally as a part of awareness. But as in our spiritual intelligence is a process of sanctification, I do think there is all a way that through sanctification, it can extend to even our emotional intelligence, leveraging those skills, emotional skills that God has given us. It does take work. It takes effort. And I'd like to put it maybe in two different ways and how one grows in their emotional intelligence. One, it does begin with knowing where you're at. What is your propensity towards emotional intelligence? There's a nickname that people would often give me for a long time is that I was actually emotionally void. I've never been one, just kind of all over the emotional scale. That's never been me. So what I have to do, I have to know my kind of emotional awareness. How am I coming across? And through that, that comes through, one, my time of willing to be transparent for others to speak into me, how I'm coming across. So there is some vulnerability. And also for me to come before my Father in heaven, for him to kind of reveal what's happening from the inside out as well. So through the horizontal and the vertical, I think we can grow in our emotional intelligence. And plus, as we are growing to look like Christ on that sanctifying journey, we know that Christ displayed the perfect realm of emotions. And so we grow in Christ's likeness. I believe that emotional intelligence will grow as well as he displayed his emotions rightly and perfectly.
That's good. So much of that, what you're talking about there is application. And it is important that we have a self-awareness of how we act, but also how that applies to dealing with the public. You hit on one of the main quadrants of emotional intelligence, that is self-awareness. And as associational mission strategists, you got to know how you're coming across to your pastors. That there's so much in that in terms of your own effectiveness. So that self-awareness piece is huge. And it bleeds over into kind of a social awareness. That's another pillar of emotional intelligence. And I know you'll talk about that here in a minute. But let's make this real and say, how does emotional intelligence factor into leading an association?
Sure. Yeah, no, often I remember I do monthly checkup calls with all of my pastors, just wanting to grow in that relationship. And I never forget one time one of my pastors and we were talking and he said, Brian, I know you're always there. He said, because if there's a 5-alarm fire, I'm going to call you. And it gave me pause to think, I know I'm not going to get the simple calls. So that when I step onto a church campus for or just conversations that I might have with a pastor personally, those are naturally going to be some very heavy, some potentially intense moments. And so how I am presenting myself emotionally is often going to have a determining factor on the outcome of whatever that issue is. The way I like to think of it is when my kids were preschoolers, if they tripped and fell, they would often look up at me or my wife to see how we would respond.
Right.
And crying or, oh my goodness.
Or laughing or whatever. Yeah.
Laughing. Yeah. Whatever it might be. They almost got their emotional cues off of how we displayed ourselves. I think that's the same way that happens from the AMS to the pastor to the church, is they can often take our emotional cues over upon a certain situation. So if a given situation, they are coming, our church is falling apart, big business meeting blowing up, our finances are crumbling, or a staff member did this or that, they might come with way too high of an emotional level. So they're not able to think clearly. They kind of maybe physiologically flip their lid almost, where their emotions have taken over their thought processes. But we can come in with level-headedness, emotional calm, and that can project things are not spiraling out of control. There is wisdom, God's in charge, and we can communicate despair or we can communicate hope. And it sets the tone for all the following conversations and the decisions that need to flow out of that.
Brian, that's golden. I mean, if guys can grab on to just that concept, I think we would be miles ahead of where we are corporately as AMSs across the board. I watched my mentor before I became an AMS. I walked shoulder to shoulder with my DOM in the day, and yes. I watched him diffuse situations because the pastor was frazzled and he was panicked, and he presented that on his sleeve. You know, he would go into a meeting and he'd be panicked, and that director of missions, I'll give him a shout out, Ed Adams, High Desert Baptist Association, California. I walked shoulder to shoulder with him for 2 years, and he would walk into those high intense situations with a calm and a demeanor that allowed that pastor to bring it down about 1,000, and it would just change the course of meetings entirely. That's what you just said is powerful.
And I would say it's the balance too, just taking it one step further, is that there's also some wisdom that often, maybe the majority, is that the AMS will come in to de-escalate the emotional level for whatever the given situation is. But at the same time, there's going to be some certain situations out there that the church might have presented it as not that big a deal. But the AMS needs to actually escalate the emotional situation to a much higher degree, especially as we're having healthy conversations about responding to sexual abuse, dealing with maybe poor decision-making, and people, oh, it's not that big a deal. We always love them. They've been around our church for a while. Mm. And because of close relationships, seriousness of situations often get diminished, and we need to come in with some wisdom and a healthy, wise, emotional level to help them see the true reality of that presenting situation.
I love that, because you're right. Usually when we're talking about this subject, we're talking about situations of diffusing anxiety, anger, flared up emotion, and all of that stuff. But boy, how important it is to acknowledge that there are those circumstances, hopefully very rare, but where we actually have to ramp up the emotion because somebody wants to sweep something under the rug that just cannot, for the sake of holiness, be swept under the rug.
That's right. And you need to have the wisdom to do that. But I promise you, relationships help you gauge what that needs to be. For instance, if you don't have that ongoing relationship with your pastors, and the only time you're showing up onto a church campus or into those conversations with your pastors is in those five alarm fire moments, you won't really know their personality. You'll almost having to make maybe what I would say is cold call emotional guesses to whatever the moment is, because everybody is led slightly differently. It's the same way a pastor has to do that art of leading people's personalities within your church. Well, that's the same way from the AMS to the local pastors. And so as you have those quality relationships ongoing through the great days and the struggling days with your pastors, when those hard conversations come, you're going to have a broader understanding of which emotion do I need to pull out for this guy? Because I know him, I know what he's walked through, and this isn't the first time that we've actually met or that I have even interacted with him in the last year. So relationships help to foster a healthy, emotionally intelligent ministry.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that, because the reality is we can all be known as a fixer. You know, hey, call Rick, he's going to fix it.
Right.
But the depth of that repair happens in relationship, where they know and they trust and they say, okay, let's call Rick because he cares for us and he will get us through this time. And that's a whole different attitude than just, hey, call the fixer.
Right.
Hey, so let me throw maybe a wrinkle at you here and see what you would say about this. But how should we think about emotional intelligence theologically?
Well, I think it's helpful that we see emotions are not in their own essence sinful. If we look at Jesus's ministry, we would see a plethora of how he exuded a full range of emotions. Think at his times just in the temple, he displayed great anger at the religious yet unholy actions of who would call themselves religious. He displayed grief at people's decisions. He wept over a city. But even in the hard situation, scripture even says, for the joy set before him that he endured the cross. Mm. And so even when Jesus, he wept there, shortest verse in the whole Bible right there. So we have a full spectrum of emotions that are exuded through the ministry of Jesus. And what we want to do, we want to be people who walk as Jesus walked, to rightly apply holy emotions to right situations. I think we can often get caught up as to, oh my goodness, if this situation pops up, how am I going to act? How am I going to respond here? What's going to be my tone? What's going to be my force? Am I going to say the right thing with the right tone? And we can get all preoccupied with applying the right emotion. But here's what we know from scripture, is that they gave us the encouragement. Jesus, hey, don't worry when you get drugged before kings and leaders. What are you going to say if this happens? The Holy Spirit is going to give you wisdom as to what to say in the right moment. Amen. And then, so it is that indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, yes, that seals in our salvation, that he fuels us with spiritual gifts. But at the same time, he also gives us those words covered in emotional tones for the presenting situation.
Amen.
And so theologically, it's the work, it's a partnership of the Holy Spirit in kind and in degree of our emotions along with what we say.
Yeah, wonderful. Hey, you know, integral to this whole conversation is so many, we see it so often. We get the amygdala hijack, you know, where we just fly off the handle and we react to something in such a way that's not appropriate. And what you're saying is so important, because with the indwelling Holy Spirit, asking His guidance in these situations, a self-awareness that maybe we have a propensity to pipe off, to get hijacked there in our emotions, and moving that self-awareness into self-management is a very healthy thing. But the primary role right there is the Holy Spirit in our lives, asking Him for wisdom, asking Him for the temperance to guide us through with wisdom. I love that point that you made.
Yeah, well, and I think it's essential that it's a partnership with the Holy Spirit. Each of us have propensities to certain emotions, and that doesn't necessarily mean that they are holy emotions. We still can drag our sin nature around like a pet. And so some guys that AMS, they might have this big bent towards anger issues. And so that's where that self-awareness comes. It's the relationship with the ecclesiology of the church and friends who can spur you on towards love and good deeds. Mm-hmm. It's a relationship with God that can help pull to the surface. Hey, I know I've used anger before, the Father saying, but the way you're using anger is not in a holy way. And so as we become aware of, yes, emotions that are in our life, but unholy, sinful emotions, we need to become aware of those, lay them at the Father's feet and just say, can I redeem this emotion? Father, would you redeem this emotion for your glory? And I think we have to be willing to do that regardless of how a culture might approve normally of how we can use a given emotion. Culture's approval of our emotions are not what we're going for. Yeah, we're looking for kingdom outcomes.
Absolutely. And you look, that serves as a great segue for my next question. How does emotional intelligence speak to today's culture and address the issues that we're facing in the country as well as in our churches?
The last couple years, long before my time of even thinking focused way about emotional intelligence, I began to really look closely at the news, other commentaries that are out there. I began to listen to tone of newscasters and the word choices. And I began to see how everything was much more emotionally charged towards a panic state.
That's right.
And then there was the subject of whatever they might be talking about. I remember as a kid that the newscasters would come on and they would just tell the events of the day.
That's right.
But now it's everything is alarming tone. Plus, social media has heightened this, since we are defined now in much interaction based off of emotional responses. And yes, emojis, we even have a whole nother word, I think, emoticons for that. That was way outside years ago. But most of our stuff is emotional responses. I like this. I love this. And therefore, the reality now seems to be built on your emotions connected to an item, not the subject matter of the item itself.
Wow.
And so as we are leading, everybody is drifting very quickly to this. Not here is the offense. Let's just say they broke a law, but now new laws are being formed based off people's feelings. Oh, I am fearful of this. I am feeling this way. And if you feel this way, therefore, there's beginning to be some litigious things that are beginning to follow suit. And we used to be in a day where so much was, I'd probably say in so much church world, we say it is in scripture alone. If God says it, I'm going to believe it. And we go from there. But now it's almost another layer. It is in emotion alone. It's like a girder that's been added to the way we've been living, is how do we feel about this or feel about that? And if we were just to kind of step back and look at the way our culture is interacting, alarming vocabulary sells.
That's right.
And so what happens is everybody is competing because everybody's able to have a social media platform. So everybody thinks they're valuable. In order to cut through that white noise of everybody talking, emotionally charged communication is now heightened and extreme and now available 24/7.
Yeah.
And so we've built a society upon emotionally charged situations. Thus, the highest level on our college campuses, they're dealing with anxiety more than they've ever faced before. My association, one of our ministries is, we have a counseling ministry. So I have 18 counselors that just do a phenomenal job. We're a professional counseling student. And so we have pediatric and PTSD and grief counseling, and they just do a phenomenal job. But I continually hear what college students are going through and the emotional struggles that they navigate through, and it's the default. Yeah. And those are the items we have to deal with. It's not just the nuts and bolts, but the greasy emotions that go around all those nuts and bolts that we cannot ignore or dismiss, or maybe older guys that just, we just want to say, hey, I'll just suck it up and get over it, move on.
Right.
What used to be the peripheral, the emotional, has now become the central. And we have to be aware of it, whether we like it or not. We have to be aware of it and respond rightly with it.
That's crazy. Because when hyperbole becomes the norm, where do you go from there? You just can't. I mean, and then you come in with temperance in a situation where that's emotionally charged, and your volume is at one in a room with volume 11. And it's hard to navigate that as a rational, temperate thinker. How do you steer a bunch of emotional people?
Yeah. I say this, everybody is looking for an anchor in a world where everybody's personal anchor is insufficient. Here's what I mean. I often hear this phrase, be true to yourself. The problem with the be true to yourself is that that means in a world of 7.5 billion people, there's 7.5 billion standards of what is right. Therefore, there's no anchor in society, and your emotions are moving your anchors day in day. And this is why the anxieties come where a culture collapses. And so, but what we can do is provide an anchor that it does not matter your background. It does not matter abuse that has happened in your past or great things that has happened in your past. It doesn't matter your culture. It does not matter your ethnic background. There is something, better yet, there is someone who can provide the stability that you're looking for. I had heard, and we like to embrace this, it was an illustration that was shared to me. I like to use this with our being in the military community. I was told that this is the word poise. You know where the word poise come from. And it was shared that it was actually come from a military term, that when they were building boats, they would put those ballast right there in the center of the ship at the right placement. And if it was off one place or another, the boat would tilt one direction. But when those ballasts were placed at the right position, so the boat stayed level, even when the storms came, the boat was now in a state of poise. And so what we're able to do is to provide Christ as that central emotional and eternal ballast. So when the storms come, we will be able to have poise. And I think that's what our world is looking for right now in a world of panic and concern in emotionally charged scenarios.
Amen. That's so good. So, Brian, if guys are listening today and they say, hey, you know what? I really want to find out more about emotional intelligence. I want to know how I can improve the skills of self-awareness and relational awareness in my own life. What's a resource that they could look at?
I would encourage to read John Townsend's book, People Fuel. I had read it just a few months back, and it pierced me every few pages. Great tools, practical and very applicable to every part of the AMS life. I would also add out one more that helped to kind of probably help to get this train rolling a little bit on thinking more about emotional intelligence. Kerry Newhoff had the book that came out last year, Didn't See It Coming. It's just a powerful way of just those emotions and those scenarios that come into those in ministry's life that everybody experiences, but often we don't want to admit and talk about. And so I would just encourage guys to grab either one of those books, John Townsend's People Fuel or Kerry Newhoff's book, Didn't See It Coming.
Great. I really appreciate that, Brian. Hey, listen, I've gotten into the pattern of asking a final question to all my podcast guests. You've probably heard previous podcasts by now, and you know what that question might be, but let me ask it to you anyway. You and I both know that a healthy leader has an openness to learn by questioning and reevaluating their own presuppositions. So let me ask you, what have you changed your mind on lately?
Would probably say what I've changed my mind is the power of emotions. The reason for it is because I'd mentioned earlier is I've kind of been nicknamed for a bit as just kind of that emotionally void. Never been really high up or down. But on reflecting more, examining my life more, emotions can cloud. I mean, almost put blinders over a situation or vision that otherwise you would see with great clarity.
Wow, that's
it's
a good word.
It's driving around in the morning with that heavy, thick fog, and you think you know the path because you just drove there the day before, but all of a sudden you're greatly uncertain. I never fully realized until I dug in how much emotional unintelligence and just emotions in general provide a fog in ministry that if we're not aware of, we're going to crash unnecessarily. And we have to be mindful. We have to be ready, prepared, recognize its force, but knowing that God is greater and that we do not have to be trapped under whatever our emotions might be, and they can be leveraged and redeemed for his glory. God made us, and he doesn't make any junk.
That's great. Hey, that illustration of the fog is an amazing word picture. I'm going to take that with me, and thank you for that. Hey, guys, our guest today was Dr. Brian Nall. He is the Executive Director of Pensacola Bay Baptist Association. Brian, thanks so much for hooking up with me today to record this podcast. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Happy to be with you.
All right. God bless you.
You have been listening to the AMS Excellence Podcast. For more information or to contact the North American Mission Board's Associational Relations Team, send an email to associations@namb.net.